Welcome back, everybody. Ready to dive into another deep dive?
Do it.
Today, we're tackling a topic that I think is pretty universally relevant, right?
Definitely.
Setbacks and challenges, we all hit them on the path to, you know, just about any goal.
Absolutely.
And to help us navigate this, we're going to be cracking open Chapter 15 of Stephen Scott's Stop Sabotaging Your Best Life.
Great book.
So for over 20 years, Scott has really been dedicated to helping people unlock their full potential, you know, break through those barriers, and really create the life they want.
And one thing I really appreciate about Scott's work is that he's got this knack for distilling, you know, some pretty complex psychological concepts into really actionable advice.
Yeah.
Which I think is so valuable for people who are actually trying to, like, implement these ideas in their lives.
Okay, so let's jump right in. Right off the bat, Scott reminds us that setbacks are basically inevitable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when we're pushing ourselves beyond our comfort zones.
Yeah.
And a built-in part of the growth process.
Yeah.
Like you kind of can't have one without the other.
Right. You have to be willing to kind of step outside of that comfort zone if you really want to grow. And that inherently means that you're going to encounter some setbacks along the way.
Yeah, yeah. And what's so interesting is that he doesn't like frame failure as this thing to be avoided at all costs, you know?
Right.
It's not like, oh my gosh, run for the hills, whatever you do, don't fail. He kind of flips the script.
He does, yeah. He really encourages, you know, kind of reframing that whole idea of failure and seeing it more as an opportunity for growth, for learning, for building resilience. It's not about, you know, never failing. It's about how you respond to those setbacks when they inevitably do happen.
So it's not about the if we stumble. It's about the how we get back up.
Precisely. And he has this really, I guess you could say, powerful quote from Winston Churchill that he uses.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love this one.
Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts.
Yeah, that's so good.
But, you know, Scott doesn't just leave it at the quote, right? He actually gives us some really tangible strategies for, you know, cultivating that courage, for developing the mindset that helps us view setbacks as, you know, more like temporary detours rather than these dead ends.
Okay, then that's useful.
Right.
Because I feel like that's where a lot of people get tripped up.
Yeah.
They hit a roadblock and it's like, well, I guess this isn't for me.
Yeah, you know? Totally.
So what are some of these techniques, these mindsets, these strategies? Let's dig in.
Okay, well, one of the key things that he talks about is the power of reframing.
Okay.
Instead of viewing a setback as the sign of defeat, he encourages us to try and look at it as a valuable learning opportunity.
I've heard of reframing, but like, how do you actually put that into practice?
Yeah, good question.
Because to me, that always seemed a bit abstract. You know.
Sure, it can definitely feel that way if you're not given those practical tools to actually, like, apply it in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But Scott actually offers this technique. He calls it the three R's of reframing.
Ooh, the three R's.
The three R's, yeah. And those stand for recognize, reinterpret, and reengage.
Okay, I'm listening.
So first, you got to recognize, you know, what's that negative thought pattern? Like, what's that voice in your head that's kind of saying, oh, I'm a failure because this didn't work out?
Right.
You know, whatever that little voice is saying to you. And then you try to reinterpret that thought. So you ask yourself, okay, what's a more helpful way to look at this? What's a more realistic way to look at this situation?
Okay.
And then finally, you reengage. So you take action based on that new perspective.
So it's like consciously challenging those negative thoughts and replacing them with a more, like, empowering narrative.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think one of the things that I found really helpful about this particular approach is that it kind of shifts your focus away from, like, dwelling on the negative and really helps you to move forward in a more productive way.
It's like training your brain to see those setbacks as feedback, not failures.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, I like that.
So that's one tool in that Courage to Continue toolkit.
Reframing. Yeah. What else? What else does he recommend?
He emphasizes the importance of, you know, patience and perseverance.
Of course.
He reminds us that growth isn't, you know, this linear process.
It's not a straight line.
It's not a straight line. There are going to be ups. There are going to be downs. There are going to be plateaus. There are going to be breakthroughs.
That whole roller coaster.
Yeah, it's that roller coaster. And it's about trusting the process and sticking with it, you know, even when things get tough.
Yeah. And I feel like that's where a lot of people, again, get tripped up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hit that roadblock and it's like, oh, well, this must not be for me, or I'm not cut out for this.
Right.
So easy to, like, internalize that.
Right. Yeah. So he really invites us to do this mental shift. So instead of focusing on, like, how far you have to go, what if you focused more on how far you've already come?
Ooh, I like that.
And then celebrate those small wins. You know, those little victories along the way that can help keep you motivated and build that momentum.
Because sometimes we get so fixated on the destination that we forget to even, like, acknowledge all the progress that we've already made.
Totally. It's like, you know, enjoy the journey, not just the destination.
Yes, exactly. That's so true. Okay, so we've got reframing. We've got cultivating patience. We've got celebrating those small wins. What else? What else can we glean from Scott's, wisdom here?
Well, he also talks about the importance of flexibility.
Okay.
Recognizing that our initial approach, might not always be the most effective, and being willing to, adjust our strategy as needed.
I think that's where a lot of us struggle, right? Like,
yeah.
Knowing when to stick with the plan versus when to, like, pivot and try something new.
Yeah, it can be hard to decipher that sometimes.
Yeah.
But he actually gives us, like, a few questions that we can ask ourselves.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of, you go through them one by one. And the first one is my current approach aligned with my values and goals?
Mm-hmm. And then, am I making progress, even if it's slow?
Okay.
And finally, is this approach still bringing me joy and a sense of fulfillment?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. So if the answer to any of those is like, no, then it might be time to kind of step back and reassess, try a different angle.
So it's not about being like rigid or stubborn.
Right.
It's about being aligned with what actually matters to you.
Exactly.
And being open to like course correcting along the way.
Mm-hmm. And he gives us a few practical, tips and techniques for how to adjust your strategy without losing sight of the overall goal.
Okay.
So things like breaking down big goals into smaller, more manageable steps.
Right, right. Bite-sized pieces.
Yeah. Experimenting with different approaches to see, what works best for you, what resonates most with you, and seeking feedback from, trusted mentors or advisors.
Okay. I like that. It's like a more iterative approach,
mm-hmm.
Learning as you go, mm-hmm. not being afraid to experiment and, make those adjustments. Exactly. And one of the, I think, most powerful things that he talks about in this chapter is the importance of seeking support.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that we don't have to go it alone.
I think that's so crucial. Yet so many of us try to just power through challenges on our own.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there's often like a stigma, right?
Yeah.
Associated with asking for help.
Right.
We might feel like we should have all the answers, or that will be perceived as weak or incompetent if we admit we need help.
Right.
But Scott makes this really compelling case for the power of vulnerability and connection.
Mm.
He argues that seeking support is actually a sign of strength and self-awareness.
It takes courage to admit that you need help, right?
Oh, for sure. And he actually provides some really insightful guidance on like how to build a supportive network.
You're okay.
So, he encourages us to surround ourselves with people who inspire us, who challenge us, and who provide a safe space for us to, be vulnerable.
So it's about being intentional about who we let into our inner circle.
Absolutely. And it's also about being proactive in seeking out, mentors or coaches or therapists who can provide guidance and support that's tailored to our specific needs.
Yeah, I've definitely found that having a mentor has been a game changer in my own journey.
Absolutely.
Just so valuable to have someone who's been there, done that.
Yeah.
And can offer wisdom and perspective based on their own experiences.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. And, this emphasis on seeking support, I think it really ties back to one of his like core messages about the importance of connection and community.
Right.
He believes that we're not meant to navigate life's challenges in isolation.
Yeah.
We thrive when we have that sense of belonging, that sense of support.
It's like that African proverb, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
That's perfect. That sums it up perfectly. And, as we're talking about community and connection, it reminds me of another really key point that he makes about overcoming setbacks.
Okay.
And that's the power of self-compassion.
Oh, yeah.
Treating ourselves with the same kindness and understanding that we would offer a good friend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Recognizing that we're all human. Yeah. We all make mistakes. We all face challenges.
Right.
And instead of beating ourselves up, when things don't go as planned, he really encourages us to practice self-forgiveness, self-acceptance.
It's so much easier said than done, though, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Especially when we're like feeling disappointed in ourselves or like we've let ourselves down.
Totally. It definitely takes practice. But he offers some really, concrete techniques
okay.
for cultivating self-compassion. So things like journaling, you know, mindfulness, meditation, positive self-talk.
So it's about developing like a more supportive inner dialogue,
mm-hmm.
almost like becoming our own best cheerleader.
Right. Right. Exactly. And, you know, I think this ties back to what we were talking about earlier about the importance of mindset.
Right.
Scott really believes that our beliefs about ourselves, about our abilities, they play a huge role in how we handle setbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we believe we're capable of overcoming challenges, we're more likely to persevere, right?
Okay.
And if we're constantly doubting ourselves and focusing on our shortcomings, we're more likely to give up when things get tough.
Yeah, yeah.
So it really is about cultivating that self-belief.
So how do we cultivate that? Like, what are some, I guess, tangible steps we can take to, mm-hmm. like, strengthen our inner confidence, that self-belief?
Well, he suggests a few things. One is reflecting on past successes.
Okay.
Like, it's so easy to get caught up in, you know, our current struggles and forget about all the amazing things we've already accomplished.
Right, right. Yeah.
So taking the time to kind of like acknowledge and celebrate those past wins can be really powerful.
Like creating a highlight reel of our own, like, personal triumphs, right?
Exactly.
Reminding ourselves that we are capable.
Yes.
Even when we face setbacks.
Okay, what else?
He also talks about identifying our strengths and talents.
Okay.
Really understanding, like, what are we good at? What are our unique gifts?
Yeah.
And focusing on those. And yeah. then surrounding ourselves with people who believe in us.
Oh, I love that.
It makes such a difference.
It does.
To have that support system.
Yeah, because those are the people who are going to remind us of our strengths when we're doubting ourselves.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got reframing. We've got patience. We've got flexibility. We've got seeking support. We've got self-compassion. We've got cultivating that self-belief.
It's a lot, right?
It is a lot.
But these are all like really important pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah, yeah. What else can we add to our arsenal of tools for overcoming challenges?
Well, he talks about the importance of taking action.
Okay.
Even when we feel, you know, afraid or uncertain.
Oh, man. I need to hear that one.
It's hard sometimes, but it's so powerful. Yeah. It's like action is the antidote to fear.
Right, exactly. And the more we act, the more we build confidence and momentum.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's where he suggests something really interesting.
Okay.
He says to try reframing fear as excitement.
Oh, I like that. Turning that nervous energy into a positive force.
Exactly.
How do we actually do that?
Well, think about it. Like, physiologically, fear and excitement actually share a lot of the same symptoms.
Really?
Yeah. You know, your heart starts racing. You get those butterflies in your stomach. You have that surge of energy.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of labeling that feeling as fear, what if you just told yourself you were excited?
Okay.
That you're about to do something amazing.
So it's like a mental trick almost,
mm-hmm.
but one that can actually change our physiological response to a challenge.
Exactly. And you know, this reminds me of another great point that he makes. He says, we should prepare for the unknown.
Okay.
With a flexible mindset.
Because, yeah, as we've been talking about, setbacks, unexpected challenges, they're bound to happen.
Right. So instead of trying to control every aspect of the journey, we need to be adaptable, yeah. willing to adjust course when necessary. It's about embracing the uncertainty.
Yeah.
Knowing that we have the inner strength and resourcefulness to handle whatever comes our way.
Which ties back to the theme of self-belief that we were talking about earlier, right?
It does. It's trusting ourselves to handle challenges, even when we don't know exactly what those challenges will be. And that's where the power of reflection comes in.
Yes. Reflection. Taking the time to look back on our experiences and, you know, learn from them. What does Scott have to say about that?
Well, he emphasizes the importance of reflecting not just on our successes,
yeah.
but also on our setbacks. Because it's often in those difficult moments that we learn the most valuable lessons.
So instead of dwelling on what went wrong, we ask ourselves, what can I learn from this?
Yeah.
How can I use this experience to grow and become even stronger?
Exactly. It's about extracting wisdom from every experience, even the ones that don't go as planned. And, you know, this reminds me of something Scott says in the chapter about creating a positive support system.
Oh, yeah. Tell us more about that.
He emphasizes the importance of surrounding ourselves with people who lift us up, who encourage us, who offer sound advice when we need it. Because let's face it, overcoming challenges is a lot easier when we have a team of cheerleaders in our corner.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just need someone to listen, to offer a different perspective.
Yeah.
To help us see the situation in a new light.
Exactly. And you know, this makes me think about something that goes beyond the specific strategies that he outlines in this chapter.
Okay.
It's about the bigger picture.
Ooh, I love when we zoom out, connect the dots like that.
Yes.
What's the overarching theme that you're seeing here?
Well, it seems to me that Scott is ultimately suggesting that the most successful people, they aren't those who avoid setbacks, but those who have mastered the art of recovering from them quickly and effectively.
Oh, that is such an insightful observation.
It's not about being immune to challenges.
Right.
It's about having the resilience, the resourcefulness to bounce back stronger. Precisely. And you know, that makes me think about something else. Like, what if one of the biggest secrets to achieving our goals isn't about, like, dodging failure altogether, but about becoming, like, really adept at bouncing back from those inevitable setbacks?
It's like those people that just seem so successful aren't actually superhuman. They've just gotten really, really good at recovering faster and then, like, extracting those juicy, you know, learning nuggets from those experiences.
You got it. It's almost like they've built up this setback muscle.
A setback muscle.
But allows them to not just weather the storm, but actually leverage those setbacks to propel themselves forward even faster.
So it's not just about resilience.
Right.
It's about turning setbacks into fuel for growth. Mm-hmm. That kind of changes the game a little bit, doesn't it?
It does. And it connects back to all those strategies we've been talking about, you know, reframing, flexibility, self-belief, seeking support. It's like all these elements are working together to create this like powerful ability to navigate the ups and downs of any pursuit, you know, that's worth chasing.
Okay. So how do we actually develop this setback muscle? Like, what are some tangible things we can do to become more like, you know, effective at turning challenges into opportunities?
Well, I think it all starts with awareness, recognizing that setbacks are a natural part of the process. It's not a sign that we've, you know, veered off course or that we should throw in the towel.
Right. So normalizing the experience of failure.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And then it's about, you know, embracing those strategies that we've been talking about. So reframing setbacks as learning moments, you know, dissecting what happened so we can do better next time, tapping into our support network, and you know, crucially, believing in ourselves and our ability to overcome obstacles.
Okay. So it's this blend of like mindset shifts and practical actions.
Absolutely. And, you know, this reminds me of something Scott mentions in the chapter about like aligning with your purpose.
Oh, yeah. How does purpose factor into overcoming setbacks?
Well, he suggests that having a strong sense of purpose can really like fuel our motivation and our resilience when we hit those bumps in the road.
Because we have that clear, you know, why driving us even when the going gets tough.
Exactly. Exactly. When we're like deeply connected to our purpose, setbacks become temporary detours, not roadblocks. It fuels us to keep pushing forward even when we feel like giving up.
Yeah. And that sense of purpose can also guide us towards decisions that resonate with our values, right? Which can help us stay on track and avoid feeling lost or, you know, unsure of our direction.
Absolutely. You know, purpose acts like a compass, guiding our choices, keeping us focused on what truly matters.
This has been so insightful.
Yeah, it's a great chapter.
We've covered so much. Reframing setbacks, building resilience, the power of self-belief, and the importance of living with purpose. What other gems can we unearth from Scott's work on this topic?
Well, one thing that really stands out to me is his emphasis on the importance of relationships.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, he talks about surrounding ourselves with people who support and encourage us.
Whoa. Right, right.
Building that positive community.
Exactly. And this brings to mind something that he mentions in a later chapter about leaving a legacy.
Oh, I love how you're weaving together insights from different parts of the book.
It's all connected, right?
Yeah, yeah. Tell us more about that.
Well, he suggests that, you know, a significant part of our legacy is the impact that we have on other people's lives.
Mm.
You know, he encourages us to nurture meaningful relationships, to offer support and encouragement to those around us, and to create things of value that benefit others.
So it's not just about hitting our own goals.
Right.
It's about using our experiences and insights to make a positive, like, dent in the world. Exactly. And that makes me think about something else. What if overcoming setbacks and challenges isn't just about achieving success in a particular area of our lives, but about becoming the kind of person who can handle anything life throws our way?
Whoa.
Right.
That's powerful.
It's like it's about building a strong foundation.
Yeah.
A kind of inner resilience that empowers us to navigate all of life's curveballs.
You nailed it. And, you know, this brings us full circle to Scott's overarching message about, you know, living our best lives.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, it's not just about those like external achievements. Uh-huh. It's about cultivating, you know, inner peace, fulfillment, joy.
Precisely. And that's where, you know, Scott's emphasis on gratitude and positivity really shines through.
Yeah.
He encourages us to focus on what we're grateful for, even when things are tough.
Yes. He talks about like establishing a daily gratitude practice,
yeah,
expressing appreciation to others, and even like reframing challenges with an attitude of gratitude.
Yeah. Right. It's about intentionally shifting our focus to the good, even amidst the storms. And this leads to his insights on sustaining fulfillment and joy.
Tell me more about that.
So he highlights the importance of like engaging in activities that light us up,
mm-hmm,
staying connected to our purpose and cultivating, you know, presence and mindfulness.
So it's about crafting a life that feels, you know, rich and meaningful, even when challenges are part of the landscape.
Exactly. And that's where the power of reflection comes full circle.
Yeah.
You know, taking the time to look back on our journey, celebrate our wins, and glean wisdom from our experiences.
Yeah, it's like using reflection as a springboard to propel us forward on our path of personal growth.
Well, precisely.
As we wrap up our deep dive into Scott's work, right, I'm left with one final thought-provoking question.
Ooh, I love a good thought to chew on. What is it?
What if the true measure of success isn't about, you know, hitting a specific target,
mm-hmm,
but about the person we become along the way?
That's beautiful. So it's about the growth, the resilience, the wisdom that we gain as we navigate, you know, life's inevitable twists and turns.
Exactly. It's about embracing the journey, knowing that each step, each challenge, each moment of reflection is shaping us into the best version of ourselves.
And that is such a powerful takeaway.
It is. And a great reminder that personal growth is a continuous journey, not a destination.
Couldn't agree more. It's about continuously evolving, learning, becoming.
Well, on that note, it's time for us to wrap up this deep dive. But before we go, I want to encourage you, the listener, to keep exploring these ideas. See how Scott's insights can apply to your own life.
Absolutely. What resonated with you most? What will you do differently to tackle those setbacks and challenges?
What will you do to live your best life?
Until next time, keep diving deep.